This episode is recorded in front of a live audience.
Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leon Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt. Oh, wait, try that again. We got to try that again. All of us together, we got to say, well, Matt. Ready? Well, Matt. Oh, that was so good. Well, Matt. I bought Pitbull tickets.
Of course you did.
I did. I bought Pitbull tickets.
Like Mr. Worldwide?
Mr. Worldwide. Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide. I bought Pitbull tickets.
Oh, Lord.
I bought them in row 20, front and center. I'm going with Charlie, Tim's son, Charlie. And Tim and Amy's son, Charlie, and Joey.
Oh,
we're going to go see Pitbull.
Goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When is this happening?
It is happening in September. If you follow me on Instagram, I'll story it like crazy. And listen, I want to say this. I know that Pitbull has some naughty lyrics.
He does.
He talks about booties and all kinds of things.
Don't go too far.
Well, okay. But he does have some naughty lyrics. But here's the thing. Why I love Pitbull is because of his story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pitbull has an incredible story. And let me just say this. I know we're not going to talk about
Pitbull. I know, but I love this. I love this part.
But Pitbull, music critics said everything terrible about him.
Mm-hmm.
They said he couldn't sing. They said he wasn't good looking. They said he had no rhythm. They said he was terrible lyrically.
Mm-hmm.
Like the critics said everything bad about him. And the reason he picked the name Pitbull is because those dogs never lose.
Yeah.
And he is brilliant because Pitbull knew his limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you Google Pitbull, I know I'm not going to guarantee everything you'll find, but but what you will find is he is one of the biggest collaborators out there. So Pitbull did his own music, and then he started collaborating. And he collaborated with people at first, like Jennifer Lopez
mm-hmm.
and Christina Aguilera. I mean, Pitbull just collaborated with Dolly Parton and did a song called Powerful Women. Working 9 to 5. She's on, anyway. And
I think they know who Dolly Parton is.
Right. But he collaborated with Blake Shelton. He's collaborated with so many people. But what I find so genius is in every song that he's collaborated with, he says Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, that's right.
So he uses platforms like of Jennifer Lopez to say Mr. Worldwide, Mr. Worldwide, Mr. Worldwide, Mr. Worldwide. And everybody here probably knows that he's referred to as Mr. Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who Pitbull is? You do, Dory. Right, Ben's shaking his head. I was like, does everybody know who Pitbull? You don't know who Pitbull
is? It's okay.
It's all right. Google him. But I am fascinated by his story. He is the son of immigrants. He got into trouble, and then he probably stayed in trouble for a long time. He could still probably maybe be in trouble. I don't know. But I'm going because I am so inspired by his story. I'm also going to Justin Timberlake, but Pitbull, I'm so
excited. I'm going
excited.
To like Disney on Ice.
Yeah, I know. I know you
We are in very different seasons of life right now, my friend.
So our youngest son, Joey's going. And he and Charlie live in the same house. They live together. And Joey texted Charlie and I and said, can I buy bald wigs and we all dress up as Pitbull? And I said, can we just please talk about this later? I mean, I don't know if I can do that. But I bought Pitbull tickets and I'm pretty excited.
Okay. All right, tell me your good day.
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. My good day is today. And that's actually things that led up to today. But let me tell you about this. So Mallory and I, a couple weeks ago, we were planning out this weekend. You know, she's helped a lot. We had a lot going on. We're both working today. We both had wanted to be here as early as we could. And we were like, oh, it didn't dawn on us that her parents are out of town and my mom's going to be helping us. And who's going to watch our kids? And so we went through the list. And there's only one other person. Like, there are a couple. There are friends of ours that are married that have watched our kids that don't have kids yet. But they recently moved to New York City. And I said, we can ask. And you know what? We called them and they said, we have missed Ohio so much. We have been planning to come before Memorial Day weekend. And they flew in last night to sleep over with our kids this weekend.
So great.
Like, to have friends like that, that's so special.
That's a good day.
I picked them up in Cleveland last night at the airport. And they're making sure our kids are all tucked in tonight. And we don't have any worries. So we knew we needed my mom here and all of our friends that would also step in. But for them to fly in, get you some friends that will fly in for stuff like that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So good.
And they're just so supportive.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I love that.
I love today too. Today's a good day.
Yeah. What's your good day?
My good day is, it could feel or seem boring. And I feel like I have this good day often, but I love being home. So I have been gone and I'm learning to protect myself from myself.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree. You do need to protect yourself from yourself.
I mean, I bought Pitbull tickets. Anyway,
you need to give me the little 3-digit code. You need to text me and I'll approve your purchases. I think we should pass on Pitbull or Justin Timberlake, Pitbull and Justin Timberlake.
So this past Monday, I was like, you know what? I am not leaving this driveway. I'm not even going out in the garage. I am staying home. And I just needed, and I know so many of you can relate to this, that when you've been gone or when you've been running or when you've just been busy, sometimes it's just good to stay home and do laundry. Like, I got all the laundry done. And I just did things around my house that made me feel not just grounded, but it made me also feel like I was honoring my space.
Yeah.
And I made a beautiful supper.
Was that the pork chops?
Yeah.
I know, I remember that.
And
I just
really enjoyed home, and I think it's underrated. I think it's underrated to just stay home and enjoy your space and to vacuum all the little corners.
Have you seen that meme on Instagram where it's like, why are all the things I want as an adult the things that were punishments when I was a child? It's like, go to your room, take a nap, stay home. I'm like, please.
Right.
Please,
someone.
Put me in timeout. I will sleep. I will stay home. I will go to my room.
Exactly. Like,
I will do all those things.
That's so true.
I won't call anybody.
So that was my good day. It was just this past week, just staying home
yeah.
the whole entire day and anticipating when Daryl walked in the door. And, you know, I think too, when you have a partner or a spouse that you really love when they walk in the door, I think that's something that also can be underrated and we take for granted sometimes.
Absolutely.
So it was just a good day. And yeah, I just love home, and it was just a good day at home.
Absolutely. Well, we are recording this in front of our podcast family.
Yes.
And we are at a store that we love, that has supported us and partnered with us, called Be Fearless and Be Fearless at Home. And we thought for this episode, we would just talk a little bit about fear, because I think it's something that we all struggle with, whether we did when we were 15, there were probably things that we were fearful of. And when you're 55.
Wait, who's 55? Me?
You.
Yeah, me.
And so we wanted to talk a little bit about what fear means and how we can overcome it in our life and what that looks like.
Right.
And so I was thinking about this.
Now, you notice who has notes. You notice who does not have notes. You notice who prints out notes for me. ask me if I've read these notes. No, I haven't. But Matt.
Yeah, but you have stories.
I do. I have thoughts.
Yeah, you do. You know, here's what I was actually thinking about this a lot the last couple of days. And this morning in the shower, I said to my wife, I had a thought. This might not be original. So if you've heard something like this, maybe I picked it up along the way. But I was thinking of this today. Fear leads us to make long-term decisions based on short-term feelings. So fear sometimes leads us to make a long-term decision about something.
Right.
Based off of a feeling that is happening right now in the moment where we say, I can't do this, I shouldn't do that, this is really scary. And you know, there's somebody that we love called Mel Robbins. Has anyone heard of Mel Robbins before? Mm-hmm. I love Mel Robbins. Mel Robbins has the 90-second rule with your feelings. Mm-hmm. So the 90-second rule, this is what this means. The 90-second rule is when you are feeling something like fear or anxiety, the chemicals that are released in your brain typically last 90 seconds. So if we can train our brain to get a hold of those feelings or those emotions, get a hold of those thoughts within the first 90 seconds, Mel Robbins would say we have a better outcome. Because what happens is, I don't know about you.
I need more than 90 seconds.
I start spinning and spiraling. Yeah. And I start thinking, oh, and then if this happens, and then if this happens. But Mel Robbins would say, you know, the actual chemicals that are released in our brain because of fear actually only stick around in our brain for 90 seconds. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, and this comes from the way that we were designed. The way that God really created us is, you know, our fight or flight mode, it's not a bad thing. I think sometimes our fear gets a negative connotation. We were designed. I mean, think about our, let's all pretend we believe in Neanderthals and that whole, you know, narrative of cavemen and that type of thing. You know, before the beginning of time, when God created us and we were all, you know, with animals, we needed that flight or fight mode. We needed that chemical in our brain to say, this isn't good, this is scary, run away. You know, we're trying to preserve our life. We probably don't have those circumstances anymore. Maybe that's why some people are scared of spiders and snakes now. But, you know, otherwise,
right,
there aren't many things where our life,
right,
is threatened.
Right.
And so we need that. So that's not a bad thing.
No.
You know, it gets a bad rap. But it's, what do we do when that fear comes into us?
Right. And I think also when we look at fear, and fear holds us back from doing the thing. Like, fear holds us in our place. When we see opportunity, or we see things ahead that we could do, or maybe we know we're supposed to do, and we are held back because we're scared. This recently, I got together with Breakfast Club. Breakfast Club is all here. Where Breakfast Club, they are all here, and we get together about, I don't know, once every 8 weeks, and we talk about everything, and we go kind of around the room. Like, with our updates, like, what's going on with you? What's going on with you? What's going on with you? And often it turns into talking about our lives and our dreams and what, you know, what we're hoping for. And one of us is a clinical counselor in the group. And she printed out and has them here with her tonight. If you want one, see her afterwards. But I asked her to bring them tonight. It's a form, because we were talking about some what ifs, like one of us, which I won't call you out, was talking about, like, certain things, certain dreams, certain things. And I am usually the one going, well, what's going on? What? Do it! Like, what are you doing? Okay, it was Missy.
That tracks.
It was Missy. Missy's incredible writer. And I'm like, email the person. She's like, I'm thinking I should want to email this person. And I'm like, for how long? I don't know. She said something like 6 months. I'm like, what? And so we're all encouraging her, you know, to send the email, right? And then Wilma always steps in with these little one-liners. I think it's something counselors do. And she's like, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? And Missy's like, oh. And we all just kind of look at each other like, oh, wait. So Wilma has this form, and she sent it to all of us to kind of look at, and it's basically deconstructing catastrophe. Mm. Because a lot of times when we're fearful, we think of all the catastrophic things that can happen. Like, what if this happens, and what if that happens, and then what if I don't know, lose my house, or what if I move to that city and I don't like it, or whatever. Yeah. And it was such a helpful exercise, mm-hmm, because I think sometimes our comfort and fear can just keep us in that same place.
Totally. You know, I think I was reading, so the Nester, who we recently interviewed, we love the Nester. She was so awesome. Mm. Their family must be geniuses, because I was reading her sister's book. Her sister's Emily P. Freeman. And Emily P. Freeman has a book called The Next Right Thing. It's maybe 6 years old, I think. And I was glancing through it, and this is a line from Emily P. Freeman, so I want to give her credit. You know, I think sometimes when we think about fear, it does have a negative connotation.
Right.
But Emily P. Freeman says in her book, The Next Right Thing, fear and darkness has its place.
Right.
And usually fear and darkness gives us strength, helps us nourish, and pushes us to grow.
Right.
Because here's the thing. I think sometimes when we don't embrace fear, and we don't set in what why are we feeling fearful, when we don't set in that, and we, you know, we self-medicate with food, shopping, you know, we could list all the things, and we're like, I just don't want to feel this feeling anymore, I just don't want to sit in it. Sometimes that fear is what's pushing us to grow,
right?
And sometimes when we stop and we go, oh, maybe this season I really need to kind of regroup, and I really need to think about what is my next step? What is my next right thing? I mean, that's her book. And sometimes those moments of darkness or those moments, you know, you can all think of a time in your life where you're like, why is this happening?
Right.
Or I'm feeling crippled by fear. I feel paralyzed by fear. But Emily P. Freeman, I love what she said about that, because it's all about using the fear to nourish us, strengthen us, and grow us. And I love that thought.
Can you think of a time when you were afraid?
Absolutely. I have it written down. I have five pages of notes here.
Wow. Okay. So what? What is it?
You know, when I got married, listen to the whole story. When I got married, I was working at a church, and this is a really long story for a different day.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go into it.
I can't wait for the different day.
I still love and respect some of these people.
That's fair.
But we had a baby, and this is a really weird way to start a story. We got married, we had a baby.
Get to the fear part.
There was some true dysfunction in this workplace where I was working. And if you've been around church, churches are not absent of dysfunctional people. You know, I think we're going through this is a little bit of a rabbit trail. I think we're going through a season where deconstruction, anyone familiar with the deconstruction word and the deconstruction movement?
I like the term detangle.
I like that better.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I think we were just talking about this with our worship pastor at church. He's a good friend of ours. And we were talking about how there is a movement of throwing the church out and throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And here's the thing. I grew up in a church of 300 people that I love dearly. It wasn't perfect. Then I worked at a church of 4,000 people. There were people there that I loved dearly. It wasn't perfect. And now I go to a church of 700 people and I love them dearly, but it's not perfect. And so I went through this season, and you know, it was a very unhealthy season at the church. And through a series of circumstances, Mallory and I said, I need to get out of here. And if you are privy to this, there's a lot of local people here and friends in the room, and you guys know what I'm talking about. And I thought, I need to have an exit strategy for my future. Mm-hmm. And I started going to school at 30 years old again.
Yeah.
I had already had a degree.
We were friends then. I remember this so clearly.
And it was one of those moments where I'm like, I was so afraid. I was newly married. We had a baby less than 2 years later. And I was like, what are we going to do? We were actually living in an apartment on your property.
Yeah, on our property, yeah.
And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I would say, when I think about that time, what it did for me, looking back, now it didn't feel like this at the moment, but looking back, it was a season of strength and nourishment and growth. Because the thing is, I have walked because of that experience, and I know you shared about your family, and you can say the same thing. Because I walked through that, I now have the opportunity to walk through that with other people that are going through a shift in season. And so I don't think it's wasted on us either.
Right.
I think when we're crippled by fear and when we do make the choice to overcome, we don't waste those opportunities because it's there for a reason. What about you? When you think about your being fearful?
Well, our oldest son, okay, this is a completely different kind of fear. But our oldest son had this weird neurological thing happen with his brain. And he lived in Denver. We lived in Ohio. And he ended up having a blood clot in his brain. And I was so scared. Like, as a mom, I was like, I really didn't know what to do with all the fear. I couldn't sleep.
Can I say a detail of this?
Yeah.
He would get up out of his bed in the middle of the night. And didn't Teddy get up out of his bed in the middle of the night?
And?
Leave.
Oh, no, that's Joey.
Oh.
Our youngest son has sleptwalked over the years. And when he's under, like, stress, the last time he got up in the middle of the night and went sleepwalking, he went outside in the parking lot of his apartment building. He was in his boxers. And what woke him up is his feet were so cold standing in a flower bed. And then he's like, try getting into a coated door with a guy getting home at 1:30 in the morning saying to him, I sleepwalk. And I was just out here. This is my name. Can you let me in? You know, some people have sleepwalk driving, even that they drive sleepwalking. But
sorry,
yeah, that was
I
Joey.
Totally
sorry, that's
interjected.
Okay. It was Joey. No, but Teddy, it was really scary. He had some. It was scary. They had to take him to the emergency room, and he, when they checked, anyway, I won't go into it, but he ended up having a brain clot or blood clot. And so I was just so scared. And I just remember one night I was trying everything. I got the Calm app on my phone. I was listening to rain. Then I was listening to the ocean. Then I was listening to the wind. I was trying everything. And I just couldn't, I was coming. I felt like I was crawling out of myself because I just didn't know what to do with being so scared. And finally, and I don't know why I do this, but I seem to do this in my life. I was like, oh, well, I literally could pray about this. And so about how I'm feeling, like right. The feeling that I'm feeling.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I was praying for Teddy, of course, but how I was feeling. And I just remember laying in bed, and Daryl, he's asleep. I mean, he's sound asleep. He's got his sleep apnea mask on, and he's out. and I'm laying there with the calm at with the ocean roaring. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, God, I don't know what to do with all this feeling, or this fear. I'm so scared. I'm so scared that blood clot could let loose. I'm so scared because he's in Denver and I'm here. He's in the emergency room. We've got like four neurologists looking at his brain. And I am asking you to come and pull this fear out of my heart and just take it from me. I don't know what else to do. And if you could just put me to sleep. I just need to sleep. I just need to sleep. And it worked. I'm not saying that can work for everyone every time, but that I was kind of literally mm-hmm. kind of like at my wit's end because I did not know what to do with being so afraid. And now, you know, these many months later, he went on blood thinner, and they told him not to do anything crazy, and the child skateboarded, and he's not athletic.
No.
So I'm like,
he's kind of cut from the same cloth as me.
I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you skateboarding when they told you not to do anything, basically? But anyway, but the blood clot now is gone, but it was really scary.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of, you know, one of my favorite verses that from the Bible that is so short and sweet that I forget sometimes is perfect love casts out fear. And so I think for me, a solution for casting out fear is perfect love found in our faith from the Lord. You know, you talked about praying.
Right.
But I also think a way that we experience perfect love is in community.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't think perfect love happens in a vacuum. Right. And it reminds me of a story for us when Mallory and I were really fearful, very similar with medical things with our kids. Our middle child, when he was born with a condition called craniosynostosis. Has anyone ever heard of this? We had never heard of it. Basically, my wife raised her hand.
She's heard of it.
Of course you have. but basically, you know when babies are so squishy and their head's squishy and they're like, don't touch the soft spot. Oh, the soft spot. I never really knew why we had a soft spot. Well, I found out real fast because when Fitz was born, the two plates on the front of his head were actually overlapping and beginning to grow together. And so, you know, when we had Fitz, it was this great moment, you know, having a baby, there's like an adrenaline rush. I mean, it was great for me. I hope it was good for you, babe. thumbs up. And so you get this beautiful baby put in your arms and the rotating pediatrician that's just on call that night said, do your other babies, did they look like this? Literally, that's the bedside manner we got. And we were like, look like what? What does our baby, perfect and beautiful? Of course they did. Well, our son, if you were to look at pictures of him, he had a very prominent ridge that went about from the top of his nose to the middle of the top of his head. And he also had pinching over his eyebrows. So the front of his skull would not grow, essentially. And so they told us when we were in the hospital, a very long story short, we found out that he needed to have a surgery at 10 months old. And the surgery that they were going to perform on him was where they would make an incision from ear to ear, and they would remove 70% of his skull. A plastic or a brain surgeon would take it off, and then a plastic surgeon would tap in and reconstruct it. And those 10 months sometimes feel like a blur. Sometimes I don't remember what, because I was so scared. Sometimes I look back at pictures sometimes and I'm like, I don't remember that. I don't remember that outfit. You know how when you look at a picture of your baby and you're like, oh, I remember putting them in the outfit. There are times where I look back on that moment and I'm like, I felt like I was living in a fog. So 10 months rolls around and we had talked, obviously our friends were a part of this. We shared this with a lot of people and the day of his surgery came and 30 people showed up and sat with us. You know, kids are in there to get tubes in their ears. That's a 1 hour procedure. You know, we were there for 12 hours.
Yeah.
And we had friends showed up through the day. Leanne showed up. I kid you not. She went to Walnut Creek Cheese and bought like vittles.
Yeah.
It was like a marketplace. And she brought vittles, ham, cheese, bread.
Hey, Matt, I took my Jura.
She actually brought her Jura. She packed up her Jura and brought it to Akron Children's Hospital for us, set it up in the lobby. We moved in.
I made frothy coffees all day long.
She sure did. And we had, through the day, we counted about 30 people that sat with us. People came in, pastors from church would come in and pray with us. Friends took the day off work. And what I was thinking about fear is often we try to manage our fear alone.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we're meant to.
No.
You know, I don't think we're meant to manage our fear alone. I think it's meant to be done in community.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be done. I honestly don't think the Lord intends us to do it with him by ourselves.
Yeah, I
think he designed it so that we have other people too.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I think if you are experiencing fear, doing it alone is really dangerous.
And so and much
it's
harder.
Really, it's really, really so hurtful and really hard.
Listen, I remember one of the things I remember about sitting in that waiting room is the surgeon, okay, you know, you're sitting in a waiting room and everybody's just looking at the doors, like waiting for the surgeon came out and I looked at Matt and I said, that is not the surgeon, right? He's like, yeah, that's the surgeon. I said, she looks like she's 17. Does her mother know she's here? Like she did surgery on your child's skull? And he's like, oh yeah, she's brilliant. Like she's amazing. Brilliant. I mean, honestly, not kidding. She looked like she was in high school.
It's true.
And I just remember thinking, when you're so afraid and you're sitting there with your friends, and you're just waiting for those double doors to open,
that's right.
And those answers and the outcome can be just about anything. And so to do that alone, you're right.
Yeah.
It's not just dangerous, but it's lonely. It's alone.
Absolutely.
We need each other.
And I think there's good news. So my first good news is, let's not do fear alone.
Oh, and Fitz is good. Fitz is great.
Good.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, Fitz is in first grade. He's reading. We didn't know, you know, we didn't really know the outcome. They said it could be, you know how when you like WebMD something and they're like, you could need to have a really big BM or you might have cancer. And you're like, well, of course I have cancer. And then you go to the bathroom and you're like,
well,
oh, I'm fine.
Let me just tell you. You know? Wow.
That's kind of what they told us with Fitz. They're like, you know, it could be this severe thing. Or it could be nothing and everything in between. And so we actually didn't Google a lot for 10 months.
Yeah. One thing I love about Fitz, they were just on vacation and they went shopping and he bought this Hawaiian print shirt and he said it was his relaxing shirt.
Yeah, it's my relaxing shirt.
He's so cute.
So here's the good news is when we experience fear, we don't have to do it alone. Here's another piece of good news for you. I love Simon Sinek. And Simon Sinek has a talk about fear that I absolutely love. He talks about how when we interview, if you were to interview an athlete, they did this study of interviewing athletes when they're at the Olympics. And it's so fascinating because they tracked the language that was used around these Olympic athletes, right? So these are the people that are at the top of their game. And the interviewers, so this is probably like, I don't know who, but you think of your Katie Couric's, your Hoda's, you know, those people that are in the news. And they would always ask these Olympians, were you scared? Were you scared? And the number of responses that said, I wasn't scared, I was excited. So they did this study that said, what if we reframed our fear as excitement? Because often, you know, if you think about all the fear that we've experienced in our life, often it's just a change. Often it's just a small thing. And so Simon Sinek would say, if we reframe our fears into excitement, And he tells a story of when he was on a plane and he experienced a lot of turbulence and he went, wow, this is exciting. And the people around him were like, what is wrong with you? But it truly does change your brain chemistry. The thing I love about our brains, and I've talked about this lady on the podcast before, Dr. Caroline Leaf is a South African neurologist. Yes. Thank you. And she is also a Christian. And she talks about how we can actually retrain and reframe mm-hmm. our brain to develop new neural pathways. So the good news is we can do it in community. We can also retrain our brain to say, this doesn't have to be scary, this can be exciting. You know, when I think about my job transition, I have gotten to do some really, really cool things because I left working at the church. God has given me some really cool opportunities.
Like this.
I work at a school and we're building a brand new huge building and I got to be part of designing that, which when I was in third grade, my mom, we had this like computer that now it would be a piece of garbage, but it was really great back then. And I had this architect thing and I used to draw rooms and look at house plans and I'm like, how cool is it? If I would have stayed at the church and never faced that fear and said, God, give me something different, or, you know, knowing when it's my season to move on, I would have never been able to design a school with a team of educators. You know, and so sometimes I think we go, God, this is so scary, but what if we said, this is exciting.
This is so exciting.
This is an exciting opportunity.
Yeah, that's great.
Or this is an exciting thing. Yeah. Here's the other thing. What sets fearful leaders apart? What sets leaders apart, a good leader from a great leader?
Is it fear?
Yeah. Well, that's really good. I'm really proud of you. I really teed that up. If you didn't get it, I would be a little nervous. But it's the opportunities to exercise courage. So, when you think about the good characteristics of a leader, we often think of charisma. Charisma is just your personality. You know, I've worked under very charismatic people and very not charismatic people, but that doesn't make them a great leader. Often the leaders that I've loved to follow are leaders that are courageous.
Yeah, yeah.
And tell the truth and aren't afraid to say the truth in love.
And also
those are
walk
the people
it out.
I want to follow.
Like you watch them do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Leanne.
Yes.
I think we're at time.
We are?
We are. Well, yeah. But we also need to do a couple thank yous we normally do. I'm going to say something that's a little inappropriate. One of our friends was in town recently, and she said, you know how you guys have been singing, Let's Talk About Food?
Let's Talk About Food.
She thinks it sounds like that old song.
From Wham.
From Let's Talk About
Sex, Baby.
Oh, you're going to say,
Let's Talk About You and Me. Let's Talk About All of That.
We can't afford the rights for this.
Talk about sex. Yeah, well.
So I think we might need to work on a better theme song for the Let's Talk About Food.
I'm sure Pitbull has something.
I don't know. But truly, we do want to thank Walnut Creek Foods because they have been such a supporter.
Everything except for the Koblenz chocolate, which we are going to Koblenz chocolate tomorrow. The Koblenz chocolate was beautiful on the charcuterie table tonight, but everything on that table tonight was from Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, and I truly love that. We do. We really do.
You know, when we were just talking to my friends that were in town, he was like, "I love that you guys don't have like BetterHelp as your sponsors." Or you know how everybody has that? Everybody's like, BetterHelp.
Well,
BetterHelp.
Listen, I have to. BetterHelp, no, if you're listening. Okay. this is so funny. This last week, this lady DM'd me and said, I just want to tell you, I stopped in Walnut Creek Cheese and I love the shrine.
Oh, my.
Of you and Matt. So back in kitchen.
Light a candle for us and say a prayer. Peg, do you put big votives there?
Yeah, back at Kitchenwares, there's a picture of us because they sponsor the podcast. There's a picture of Matt and I, and it is rather large.
It is.
And some of our favorite things are at on that shelving. But we are going to go there tomorrow and shop together. Yes. I'm so excited.
And we're so thankful for their support.
We are so thankful.
You know what's really cool, too, is they sent a package to the Nester. And our friend Pig's in the room. I walked in at a very busy time.
Yes.
And I said, we need to get this package out. And she said, you get that. We'll take care of it. And they sent her a
big box
of things that she loved. She was like, this is like fancy groceries showed up at my house.
Yeah.
And so they have just been so supportive.
So great.
When we've thrown them harebrained ideas.
Yeah, so good.
They help us. So we will be there tomorrow.
Yes.
That's awesome. Hey, well, thanks for joining us on this episode all about facing our fears and learning how to reframe our fears and our minds. You know, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that
these are good days.